Welcome to the Daily Word from the Fountain, heard weekdays at 4 p.m. on Life Radio WIFI. Stay tuned for today's encouraging and inspirational message.
I'll let that sink in. Have we no faith? Trends from the Open Door or Open Doors USA, say, company that takes statistics on the church at large globally. They show that countries in Africa and Asia and the Middle East are intensifying persecution against Christians. And perhaps the most vulnerable of Christians are women who often face double persecution for both their gender and their faith alike. Every day they receive new reports of Christians who face threats, unjust imprisonment, harassment, beatings, and even loss of family because of their faith in Jesus Christ. I want to share some staggering statistics with you of the global church. These are their annual statistics. 3,060 Christians are killed. 1,248 are abducted. 2,160 Christian women are raped, sexually harassed, and forced into marriages they didn't agree to. 792 churches are attacked or destroyed. 1,920 Christians are detained without trial and imprisoned. Are our ears even tuned to this persecution? 1 Corinthians 12 says this: if one part of the body suffers, all suffer. Maybe it's time we get on our knees and repent when we feel it's inconvenient to wake up for church. To pray, to fast, to give, to serve. An interesting experiment would be this: if I stepped down from this pulpit right now and went aisle to aisle to ask, how long have you been in the church? Are you serving? How long have you been in the church? Are you serving? Are you giving back? Or is it too inconvenient for you? We know nothing of suffering, but yet we act like we do. Your idea of suffering again might be you got cut off in traffic and you had to give somebody grace. You just had to give them grace. We feel inconvenienced when members of our own body around the world are not only inconvenienced, but they're actually suffering. They're dying for their faith. Did you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is bigger than the Fountain of Life? It's bigger than right here in Burlington. It's bigger than New Jersey. It's bigger than the United States. It's bigger than the Evangelical Church, which is hardly Christian at all. Bigger than any political affiliation. Bigger than any soapbox anybody stands on. Let me get back on my soapbox for a second, though. I'm tired of hearing that church should rise up. What does that even mean? It's not time for the church to rise up. It's time for the church to settle down and take their positions, which includes a cross on their backs. This heavy burden reminds us to stay in our lanes when we start racing towards that finish line. All of us are eager to hit. The cross is not a badge of honor either. To pick up one's cross is a humiliating and self-denying act. Might I remind you that they were beaten, ridiculed, spit on, mocked, naked as they walked through the streets. I know we wear crosses on t-shirts and crosses on our necks, and I have cross necklaces. I'm not condemning you if you have one, but I'm asking you to realize what you have hanging on your neck. It means something. Because what I'm trying to say is that that cross signifies to everyone else around you that you are willing to die in the same manner that your Savior did, on a cross, hanging, bleeding, dying for you and me. It's like hanging an electric chair on your neck. Might I remind you that the cross was a means of capital punishment. So next time we feel inconvenienced by the gospel in our Christian walk, let us remember that Christ called us in verse 24 to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow him. As Christians, we belong to this very specific type of lifestyle. It's a death march. We are all together on this death march. And if you think of the Christian walk as anything else, if you think of it as the Rose Bowl parade and you think it's just all going to be flowers and confetti and a blessed life, you're missing the point, and I probably would say you're not following Christ. This life is not a race that we can win by finishing first. It's a race we willfully choose to lose for the sake of Jesus Christ. The blessed life that Christ came to give you, the abundant life he came to give you, is one that is marked with suffering and losing consistently. It's called the Christian walk. It's called true faith. If you haven't suffered anything, I don't know if any image of Christ has been affected or perfected in you. I love you to death. Our text for today, Jesus says this in verse 25, right? For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. Let us not forget that there are many ways of losing the soul, but there is only one way of saving it, and that is through true faith in Jesus Christ. You could be losing your soul today because you think you have true faith. But where the Holy Spirit is calling all of us to do is to look at our own lives and examine our faith. Paul says that often in the scripture. He says, examine the faith that you have and see if it's true. So what is true faith? What is the spiritual litmus test that we can use? Here it is. If our faith demands anything from God, it is not true faith. But yet, if our faith demands everything from us for God, for his kingdom, for his work, it is true faith. Let me explain further. And let me be upfront. My explanation also contains an oxymoron, just like Christ's explanation did in verse 25. If you're taking notes today, I have 2 points for you, just 2. Here we see that self-seeking faith is self-losing. Self-seeking faith is self-losing. If you are seeking things to gratify your flesh and to gratify yourself, you are losing yourself. Jesus is warning his disciples of the dangers and hardships that they would face while serving him. All of them eventually would be tempted to shrink and back away from the cross in order to save their own lives. I might remind you that all of them did at one point. They hid from the cross. But there's hope, there's grace, and there's mercy. This message is not one that condemns you, but one that implores all of us to do something about the faith that we say we have. The disciples and us are also warned that cowardly unfaithfulness under persecution is not the way to save their life. It is true that a violent death may be avoided for them, but what use is a life preserved at the cost of denying their faith and losing their soul? The same is true today in other circumstances. We might not have the immediate pressure from our government to deny our Savior, but that will come. Mark my words, the spirit of this age, the one that has been in operation from the beginning of time to destroy the work of God and his people and his church, will return here to the United States. Will your faith be tested? Yes. Will you remain true? That's up to you. We know nothing of suffering. We know nothing of persecution. And it's terrible, like I said, that the only illustration that I have for suffering is serving, which is something that we're called to do anyway. something that inconveniences our faith. We have to get to church 30 minutes ahead of time. We got to act like we love people. Continuing on in this explanation of true faith, we see this, and this is my second point. Self-losing faith is self-finding. Amen. This is the opposite of the principle we just considered, right? Jesus' disciples were being warned of coming persecution. All of them except John would lose their lives in martyrdom. I want to remind you that John's story didn't end up great either. He was exiled alone on an island. That was after being boiled alive. Somehow he escaped and wrote Revelation for us. All of them except John would lose their lives in martyrdom, yet then they would most truly find them. For they would be heirs of eternal life and would gain their soul's salvation. They're shown that the abandonment of selfish aims here on earth is the acquisition of heavenly treasures. You see, this life here is that we have, maybe if we're lucky, 90, 95 years. We're on borrowed time. Our acquisitions mean nothing on the opposite side of eternity. It's funny, I bought a new car 2 years ago. It's a car I had kind of coveted my entire life. I love Acuras. I bought this car and it's the greatest thing. It's a beautiful car and I'm blessed to have it. But it's funny because as soon as I see a commercial with something newer or better, the first thought is, wow, I'd like to have one of those. I mean, think about when you got your new job. It was the greatest job you got. The greatest job. Now, I'll bring it up your street. Maybe you're married. When you saw your husband and your wife, that day you said, I do. You were the most beautiful person in the world. And now? It's funny how the glitz and glamour of this world fades. But faith that's true is eternal and lasts forever. That's why the encouragement for us today is to do something on this earth that has substantial value in eternity. That's why I'm here today preaching this way. Fact of the matter is, you could be sitting in this service for 20 years and still have no faith. I was born and raised in this church. I'm 31 years old, and I've seen the ebb and flow of Christianity. I've seen trends come and go. I've seen hype. I've seen people who were on fire for God leading worship on the platform, and then just a few weeks after, they burn out, they fizzle out. Why is that? I would venture to say that it's because they didn't have true faith to begin with. When you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, the living God, your life changes forever. Amen. Because when you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, right, what happens is the Holy Spirit starts poking and prodding at all those shelves that you have in your heart. And all those knickknacks that you love to do, those attitudes of the heart that you have on that shelf, those dusty habits, those dirty habits, the Holy Spirit loves to start crowding out and says, this has to go, get rid of this, you don't need this anymore, this was baggage, get rid of it. But that only comes from having a true faith and belief in Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus enters your life, everything else gets shoved out. The fact of the matter is, it's not just external actions, it's internal reactions, because you can be sinning on the inside in your heart and nobody would ever know on the outside. But God knows. And you can't fool him. You can't fool his Holy Spirit. Deny yourself. A person that chooses the gain of this world is not truly saved. A man who denies Christ for his own convenience loses himself indefinitely. But there is a blessedness in a life of obedience and self-surrender that selfish people can never know. Happiness is not attained by directly aiming at it, but comes as a surprise to those who are living a life in service to Jesus Christ.
We hope you enjoy the Daily Word from the Fountain. The Fountain of Life is located at 2035 Columbus Road in Burlington, New Jersey. Pastor Russ would love to meet you this Sunday at either of our 9 or 11 a.m. services. For directions or more information, please feel free to contact us by calling 609-499-2131 or visit our website at flcnj.org. On behalf of Pastor Russ, thanks for listening to today's message on Life Radio WIFI, your inspiration station.